Okay, so today is August 26, 2018. Praise the Lord. Going to continue on with the book of Acts in chapter 25, verses 1 through 27. And continuing on in the story of Paul's incarceration and being judged.
Right.
Being judged.
He's appealing for judgment.
Yes, he is. Which he definitely does in this chapter. So I guess we can call this chapter, if we want to put a title on it, Paul Appeals to Caesar. So. Verse 1. Now when Festus was come into the province, after 3 days, he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest, and keep in mind, before I continue on here, this is 2 years later. So Felix says, but after 2 years, Porcius Festus, this is in verse 27 of the last chapter, came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews pleasure, left Paul bound. So this is 2 years later. Now when Festus, I'll read verse 1 again, sorry, was come into the province after 3 days, he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul, and besought him, and desired favor against him, that he would send for him to Jerusalem, laying wait in the way to kill him. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea, and that he himself would depart shortly thither. Let them therefore, said he, which among you are able, go down with me and accuse this man, if there be any wickedness in him. So I'm going to stop there real quick. I don't know if anybody wants to say anything about that, the first 5 verses there. I just wanted to add that, to keep in mind, this is 2 years later and the Jews are still waiting to kill Paul. After 2 years. So if you think, just think about...
They had taken an oath, right?
Yeah, and yeah, think about this now.
To not eat.
Right, if you think about this. But if you think about this, this is the kind of effect that the gospel of Jesus Christ had in Jerusalem. That even after 2 years of Paul not even being in Jerusalem, they still want to kill him. That's something to think about. The effect that the gospel has... The gospel of Jesus Christ literally turned the world upside down. The world known to them at that time turned the world upside down. That was their accusation to Paul. But you could see the effect that it had. And as I was reading this just this morning, actually, I couldn't help but notice, man, 2 years and they still want him. They still want to kill Paul. They were not letting this go. And so...
It would have been more than 2 years from the original oath, the original threat.
Yeah, yeah.
Original conspiracy.
Right. But they definitely still wanted him dead, and they weren't letting it go. Because the effects were still there in Jerusalem, because don't forget, the council was still there in Jerusalem. James and the council were still there in Jerusalem. They were still having church, right? And so Paul being... they wanted Paul's blood all the more, I would imagine, because of his placement with them and the Pharisees in the first place. And him turning from killing the Christians now to being a Christian, I don't know if that's their extra reasoning to want to kill Paul. And, you know, what about all these other Christians? Why just Paul? You know, something to think about.
Yeah.
But Paul's ministry, he always started where? When he went to the town, he always started in the synagogues, and he would reason with them from the scripture, right, as to Jesus being the Christ. And so these Jews, Christ-hating Jews, that's what they are, they hate Christ, so therefore they hate Paul, and they hate
what
his ministry.
What year was, I'm trying to remember, I think it was 65 or 70 AD that the book of Acts is written by Dr. Luke?
I think it's in the 60s.
Yeah, for sure.
In the 60s, yeah. So,
yeah, I wanted to add to that in verse 1, where it talks about Festus ascending from Caesarea to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem sits up on kind of like a topographical plateau. It's the Kidron Valley. It's lifted up. I mean, you have to climb up to it. And so I just wanted to point that out, the ascension from Caesarea, which had been along the lower plains, and climbing in a progressive journey up to, you can look in your Bible map, see how far it was, is from Caesarea to Jerusalem.
Right.
And just wanted to bring that up.
So not meaning north?
No, not ascended like going north, but ascended like going up in altitude.
Okay.
So from, we'll just say sea level.
Because it is, Caesarea is south of Jerusalem, right?
I believe southwest on the coastal plain. I don't have a map in this one. In a second. I'm pretty sure it's southwest. Let me just check real quick. Oh, no maps in this one. Anybody have a Bible with maps?
Yeah, I got one right here.
Map of Jerusalem and the surrounding area. No, that's what he would know. I'm not looking for the journey. This is a good one here. Okay, so from Jerusalem, Caesarea. Okay, so Jerusalem, Caesarea is on this map.
Yeah, it's the same problem I'm having.
It's from the journey from Caesarea.
Ascended.
Oh, there it is. Okay, so if you look in Samaria, it's to the northwest of Jerusalem, sorry. But same thing, coastal plain. From the coastal plain in Samaria, would have ascended up to Jerusalem, looks like about English miles 20. I'm gonna kind of guess here, 20, 40. It would have been about 70 or 80 miles from Caesarea to Jerusalem by the road. Not by the bird's shot, but by the road that I'm seeing up here. It goes from Caesarea southwards to Lydda, where you go along the coast to Joppa and then to Lydda and then to Jerusalem. Either way, it's going to be 20, 40, 60, 70 to 80 miles along the road. It's either been by horseback or by walking. And so if you're walking, you could, if you're really pushing it, you could make 50 miles a day, maybe 20 at the most. Horseback, 30, probably at the most.
So about 2 to 3 days journey.
On horseback.
Yeah.
So I assume you would have been on a horse. But keep in mind, these soldiers, yeah, the governors, they're riding around on horses, but all the soldiers that are accompanying them, they're foot soldiers. They're on foot. They're walking at 4 miles an hour, marching 4 miles an hour. That's why they're in really good shape.
That
all that armor and that Roman armor and stuff they wore. Okay, back to the reading.
Did you have anything you wanted to add, brother? In the next section.
I wasn't quite done yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant back to the reading.
Okay, the high priest and chief Jews informed him against Paul and besought him. Okay, so the priests and the chiefs were seeking Festus to tattle on Paul, to give their testimony about Paul to him first. Excuse me. Before the actual trial, and desired favor against Paul that he would send for him to Jerusalem, laying in wait in the way to kill him.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, go ahead.
No, that's all right. Yeah. They wanted to still kill him after this long.
Yeah. Ooh, Seth, the wasp or hornet that I was telling you about. With my finger, it's caught in a web, so it would be really easy to kill it. Now, stop.
What are we doing?
Before it escapes from
it's
the
a wasp. That's, there's a wasp in your house.
In the house?
Yes.
Or
and
Hornet,
Dan is about ready to get rid of it.
Pause the...
The spider is enjoying him, laying there, but...
Continuing here. All right, so was there anything you wanted to add to the first five verses? Anybody else? Before I continue. Okay, so going on in verse 6. And when he had tarried among them more than 10 days, he went down unto Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought. And when he was come, the Jews, which came down from Jerusalem, stood round about and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. While he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar have I offended anything at all. But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, Wilt thou go up to Jerusalem, and there be judged of these things before me? Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews I have done no wrong, as they well knowest, very well knowest. For if it be an offender, if I be an offender, or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things, where though these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, Hast thou appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar shalt thou go. So I thought that would probably take a break there for a second and talk about that. There, I want to just point out that there's that word prove again, mm-hmm. Brother Josh. We were talking about that before.
That last week or the week before.
And this time it's in the narrative,
right?
Where last time it was Paul saying it. Mm-hmm.
So Luke is obviously the one that's the author.
Part of our discussion that week was, if it was last week or the week before, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Nope.
Was, forensic evidence. How did... You know, we think now we have DNA and all these modern techniques of forensic evidence. Forensic evidence has always existed, and those are witnesses, as we've learned. Letters, those types of things. Audio recordings, which they wouldn't have had then, but they would have people giving testimony and agreeing in their testimonies, whereas disagreements in testimonies would bring a reputation question to the witness. And therefore discredit in court, or it needs to be discredited, false testimony. And it reminded me last night, we had a couple guys making very serious charges against us about being pedophiles. And yeah, so I immediately took this one guy, I said, I'm going to take you to the law, you're threatening us, and all this stuff, brought him over to the officer, I said, I'm not going to have him charged, but I want an incident report done and his name recorded. Tell this guy to leave us alone. He keeps breathing threats against us. They were making all these false charges and it's slander. I said, you realize, this other young man I was talking to, said, you realize that that's a slander and I can bring you to court for your wicked false accusation.
Really?
And his eyes got kind of big. And then I saw his dad standing back about 5 or 10 feet. Is that your dad? Should I go get your dad and inform him of the slander that you're making against us and ask your dad if he wants to come to court with you? And his eyes got big there, too.
I'm going
to
tell your daddy.
It is a very serious thing when people have to go to court and give testimony and the judge receives testimony. And then later on we see in this passage that Festus is not quite an impartial judge, is he? He wanting to give the Jews pleasure or be biased towards the Jews and what they wanted to put him into Jerusalem so they could kill him. He's revealing his partiality, which, God hates that kind of partiality. He wants us to judge impartially. And,
yeah, which is why Paul had to appeal to Caesar.
Right.
Which I have to wonder if he could have just appealed to his citizenship as a Roman instead of appealing to Caesar, but I know that part of his heart was to get to Rome, and that the Holy Ghost already told me he was going to go to Rome. Jesus had already told me he was going to go to Rome and testify in Rome.
Right.
And then that was his ministry. So.
And that reminded me of last night at that event as well, and we had like 24 officers there. Our government. I'm not. It was kind of crazy, bro. It's a big event, you know, 45,000 people.
Yep.
And they've been violent in the past, and they've assaulted us in the past. But we had double barricades, maybe half the size of this room.
Whoa, yeah, four that's of us. Huge.
Yep.
Surrounded
for
by
four
police.
People.
Yeah. Surrounded by police. We had police on every corner. Big old biker police back here. Cop cars everywhere. They started showing up. I'm going, boy, this is a show of force here. And it's like the Roman guards that would protect Paul all the way to Caesar, right?
Yeah. Yep.
They would deliver him to Rome safely because that's their job.
Yep.
These police officers acting under our government, which is a form of Roman government. Hello. We have a Senate too, right? We have an emperor. His name is Trump. And the emperor has clothes on, but thankfully. And but anyway, the point I'm trying to make is that our system of government is based on the Roman type of government. And
right.
We have a military to match it.
Right.
And so that's why I believe that, you know, Jesus showed up at that time with that government, and there's going to be an end time scenario involving our government with the rest of the world, and how that pans out, I don't know. Right. I'm not making any prophecy.
Last year, they arrested somebody at that same event.
Right, a lady that assaulted you, or yeah, assaulted you with blood, or what was she?
A can. An empty can.
Can.
And because of, here's what the officer said to me. He says, we had to nip it in the bud.
Right.
That if we let her do that,
right.
Next thing you know, they're going to be throwing rocks at you.
Oh, yeah. They did and, throw a few things last night, but they were pretty insignificant. We couldn't tell where it's coming from either, so.
Yeah.
But they've thrown blood on us. They've physically pushing and all that kind of stuff that they like to do. So. Yeah.
That's why there's double roll cages and all those police officers there. And
right.
It's, yeah, I mean, it's really telling, but yeah. Anyways,
okay. Jews can't just stir around about late. Many grievous complaints they could not prove. We talked about that. And then Paul in verse 8 begins to answer for himself, right?
Yep.
So neither against the law of the Jews, temple,
or Caesar,
nor Caesar have I offended anything at all. Simple testimony.
Right.
And then verse 9 is what we just talked about with Festus's partiality. And then Paul's appeal, verse 10, to Caesar, and Festus's announcement he would send him to Caesar.
Yeah.
In verse 12.
And then, and thus sealing his journey to Rome.
Oh, yeah.
And that the Jews were not going to be able to kill him. And
right.
So he could have conceded, right? Oh, mm-hmm. Praise God, I'm going to die for the sake of the gospel, and I'll just be judged by the Jews. But God had different plans. The Holy Spirit, Jesus had different plans for Paul to go preach at Rome. So to further the gospel to the Gentiles, which was Paul's ministry. To the Gentiles, the dispensation of grace to the Gentiles. That's
well, it makes sense to go to the very heart of the empire as well. So, from the heart of the empire, you know, the gospel could then spread out from that seat of power all the way throughout the whole empire. Because you're talking about Roman citizens that have freedom to travel and protection by the authorities.
And we have one of his greatest epistles, I would say the greatest epistle he ever wrote, in my opinion. Is the one to the Romans. That's my opinion, of course. It's not fact, but if you look at Romans, there's so much. I am HO, yes. In my humble opinion, yes. I think that Romans is the. Romans and Corinthians are pretty. Because there's two letters to the Corinthians, but Romans is pretty effectual, you know. So.
Yeah.
we wouldn't have the Book of Romans if he didn't say, I appeal to Caesar, possibly, right? We wouldn't have that wonderful epistle to the Romans. So, did you
have any? Are we ready for verse 13?
I guess so. If nobody has anything else to say. Verse 13. And after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came unto Caesarea to salute Festus. And when they had been there many days, Festus declared Paul's case unto the king, saying, There is a certain man left in bonds by Felix, about whom, when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him. To whom I answered, It is not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die before that he which is accused have the accusers face to face and have license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him. I would just say here, brother, that your assessment about the Romans and the American government being pretty identical there.
Yeah, the judicial system and all those kind of things, that's right.
Right. Therefore, verse 17, Therefore, when they were come hither without any delay, on the morrow I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought forth, against whom, when the accuser stood up, they brought none accusations of things as I supposed, but had certain questions against him of their own superstition, and of one Jesus, which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. Praise the Lord. And because I doubted of such manner of questions, I asked him whether he would go to Jerusalem and there be judged of these matters. But when Paul had appealed to be reserved unto the hearing of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept till I might send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said unto Festus, I would also hear the man myself. Tomorrow, said he, thou shalt hear him. And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice, with great pomp, and was entered into the place of hearing with the chief captains and principal men of the city at Festus' commandment, Paul was brought forth. And Festus said, King Agrippa, and all men which are here present with us, ye see this man about whom all the multitude of the Jews have dealt with me, both at Jerusalem and also here, crying that he ought not to live any longer. But when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, and that he himself hath appealed to Augustus, I have determined to send him, of whom I have no certain thing to write unto my Lord. Wherefore, I have brought him forth before you, and specially before thee, O King Agrippa, that after examination had I might have somewhat to write. For it seemeth to me unreasonable to send a prisoner, and not withal to signify the crimes laid against him. And then the next chapter we'll see Agrippa having a conversation with Paul.
You know, can we just quickly think about or discuss what, obviously Agrippa was a king, Festus was a governor.
Yes.
And Felix was a governor.
Yeah, Festus took Felix's place as governor.
Festus took Felix's place as
yep,
governor?
Yep, that was at the end.
Of different areas.
No. Yeah, he took his place at the end of 25, or to 24. It says, but after 2 years, Porcius Festus yes. came into Felix's room, yes. And Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left all bond. That's at the end of the chapter 24.
Okay. So Porcius is just clearing the book, so to speak, getting this thing settled so they can proceed on with governorship. Gotcha.
And then asking King Agrippa, which I mean, unless the next chapter tells us who Agrippa is king over.
Who's Bernice?
His wife.
I would imagine it would be his wife, yeah.
So, queen.
Yeah, and they came in with great pomp.
Right.
Pomp.
and came in. It was like a parade. It was like this great thing. I looked up some of the meanings of pomp because I wasn't understanding it myself when I was reading it this morning. And
so Agrippa was king over Samaria. What does it say anywhere? We can look it up later, but yes. I couldn't remember what his authority was over. He's visiting Caesarea, which is a town. You have a governor over this town, be like a mayor or a governor over the region of Samaria.
Yeah, he's definitely higher up than Festus. So.
Appointed by the Roman government, I suppose. Those governors were appointed. Okay.
If he hadn't done anything to the Jews, what did he do to the Romans?
Say again?
Because he said, to the Jews I did nothing wrong. What did he do to the Romans?
He said he didn't do anything against Caesar either. So
why did that?
They were just trying to kill him.
The Jews or the Romans?
The Jews.
The Jews were trying to use the Romans again to kill him. Or to allow, Jews were not allowed to exert capital punishment at the constraint of the Romans.
Yeah.
The Romans were the governors because they had conquered the world, actually. But, of course, Israel was part of that, too, conquering. And so they were being occupied, an occupying army there. And so the political machine attached to the military machine. And yet that political government allowed the Jews to have judgments within themselves, so they wouldn't have to judge those matters according to their superstitions or their religion. But when it came to capital punishment, you're going to kill somebody, now you have to bring it to us, the Romans. This is what they were doing.
Yeah. So I imagine that these papers, going back to that real quick, when Paul was given papers to take on the road to Damascus to get more of these Christians, bring them to jail and trial to kill them, these papers were already probably pre-approved by the local governor or king, whichever may be the case. I would imagine it.
Right. And they were labeling the Christians as being seditious or causing problems for the governors, warfare and revolt and mobbing and that kind of thing.
Right.
That was happening.
And Paul probably would have fell under their judgment had he had not appealed to first his Roman citizenry and then eventually Caesar. He would have fell to them. He would have been murdered by them.
Yeah, if I remember, was it Lysias, the guy's name, the commander?
Yep.
Who said he didn't know that you were a Roman citizen. And then, of course, that would have very much concerned him because now he would be in trouble.
Yep.
Having done something against the law of the Romans.
Yeah, and so that captain wrote Felix
right.
a letter and sent him to Felix.
That was all part of the testimony that even Festus is looking at and Agrippa's would be looking at too. So.
Right. And that's why Festus couldn't find anything to condemn him to death either, was this testimony about Paul.
Right.
And I could just imagine Agrippa was like, yeah, I want to hear this guy. I want to hear what this is about. This is really interesting.
Have to say, Paul, well, I haven't broken any laws, and all I've been doing is saying Jesus Christ was killed, now he's alive. That's all I've been doing. I've been preaching the gospel. That's not worthy of death. That's your superstition. I don't believe that. But. Right.
Paul's pretty persuasive, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because you have to imagine, so he goes in and to all these, the region, I think Asia is really where he received the most backlash. Turkey, what would be now called Turkey.
Modern day Turkey, right.
Yeah, is where he received most of his backlash, and even the riot at Ephesus, right?
Yeah, all of his three or four missionary journeys would go through, let's see your map again, go through that area.
Right.
Of Asia, those areas of Asia. That, Cilicia, Cappadocia, Galatia, Bithynia, Asia, which is modern day Turkey.
Right. Yeah. But it seemed like that's where he received the most of his backlash, was in actually Ephesus really, really was that battle there at Ephesus was
the riot.
The riot, yeah. And they weren't going to give up their goddess. I mean,
right.
Where they chanted for 2 hours. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Go home.
Yeah, go home. Go home. Right. So just imagine. All that is just, and then the only people that really wanted Paul dead at this time were the Jews, and it actually wasn't even Paul that was taken into the theater there in Ephesus. It was two other people that were taken.
Peter and
no, not Peter. It was I don't remember the names, but
Barnabas.
No,
that went into
the. It was taken into the theater, and then finally the. Not the judge or the, well, it would have been the magistrate there. Finally, put everything to ease. Hey, look, these guys ain't changing it. We already know that Diana's our goddess. They ain't changing anything. Just go home. Enough, you know. And he ended the tumult. He ended the riot by bringing that judgment in. I'd have to go back and look. I don't even remember which chapter that was, but I guess I could look back at my notes and I could tell you. But, if I have that, I'd have to look. That'll take some time.
Yeah, well, we'll look that up later.
Yeah.
Time is just fast forward and finish this.
Yeah.
Do we have, how much time do you have on the recorder right now?
Can't see it.
Oh. We are at 31 minutes.
Well, as you said, there's 32 more verses in the next chapter. You want to just press through and read that too? Two chapters done today?
We could.
What does that leave us with?
With 27 and 28 then.
That's it, right?
I don't think we have enough time.
Yeah, because now you're going to get into where he stands against Agrippa, and then eventually we get the whole almost persuaded thing, and there's lots to talk about with that. And it could get pretty lengthy, yeah.
Well, there's not much else to say about that. And it's pretty much the... hooked egg. Some of these chapters are just... matter of transitioning from one place to another in the scenario of the story.
Yeah, and that's really what we are. We're in the middle of a story right now.
Well, I think that Festus, is that the guy we're in?
Yep.
Not Felix.
Porky Festus.
Festus.
I get kind of disgusted at his partiality and wanting to do the Jews a favor rather than making, you know, the judgment on the matter.
Yeah, what it also, well, in verse 20 was give him a little bit of benefit of doubt. In verse 20, Festus says, and because I doubted of such manner of questions, I asked him whether he would go to Jerusalem and there be judge of these matters. Of course, this is what he's telling Agrippa. Because he's not going
to
tell Agrippa that these Jews, I wanted to please them, so... right? So his... I would say that...
He wanted to please the Jews, and the Jews want to kill Paul. He's not revealing all that behind-the-scenes kind of motives, right?
Yeah, it says verse 9, it says, but Festus willing to do the Jews a pleasure. But that's not what he's telling to Agrippa, is he, in verse 20?
I want to have a biased judgment here, and really my friends, the Jews, I want to please them and forget whether this is right or not.
Right. So, and Festus, I would say, was not as nice of a guy as Felix was, I guess. But he's also been handed this down from Festus, or from Felix, I'm sorry. Felix handed this down to Festus. You know, he's probably not really wanting to deal with it. Go let the Jews judge him, and maybe wash his hands of it like Pilate tried to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing the similarity between those stories, right? I think.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry. No. So, verse 9, Festus asks a question. Okay, he asks
Paul.
Yeah, this is where wanting to do the Jews a favor, answered Paul and said, "Are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and there be judged before me concerning these things?" So, I mean, he could. So I was anticipating like yes or no is the answer. But Paul's answer was, "I appeal." So was Festus making, like, saying, by asking a question, is that that's what was going to happen? I mean, I guess I don't understand it. Is that question supposed to be interpreted as, okay, here's your time to appeal or not?
Well, it's almost like Festus is, Porcius is making the judgment and is telling him, "I'm going to send you to the Jews." And versus what seems like he's asking the question, "Do you want to go to the Jews?" You know, is it a question that he's putting forth, or is he statement here? Well, I think you should go to the Jews.
So I guess if he did answer no, then that would be interpreted as that Paul is appealing. So instead,
no, I think Paul would have said, "I'm appealing to Caesar."
Which is what he did say, actually, yeah.
So there's just more than one way to communicate. Yeah.
Paul was going to hold on to his Roman citizenry here. He says, then said Paul, "I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged." See, he's appealing. He's taking that Roman citizenship, and he's running with it.
Well, I mean, it kind of reminds me of, and you're always mentioning it, that's one reason to bring it up, but when I'm dealing with the police or authorities, I'm going, well, you know, I've been defending these values, these constitutional issues for 21 years in the military, and I've surrendered my life, I laid down my life to protect those values, and now you're telling me I can't have that value? I can't have free speech and exercising my religion and all these kind of things because you're appealing to some remote law that you can't point to, but I'm pointing to the highest law of the land, Constitution, and the fact that I was sworn to defend it and obey it and defend it from people who are trying to subvert it, and now you're trying to subvert it at the lowest level possible. That's me here on the street trying to exercise it.
Right.
And so I use it all the time because it has authority. It does work.
It does.
But people that have never had military experience can do the same appeal. They say, you know, all the millions of people that have laid down their lives and surrendered their lives to protect our freedoms, to do this and that, and my uncle, my cousin, my whatever.
Right down the block, there's hundreds of feet of a memorial wall.
Right.
What does that mean?
How about on Memorial Day?
Right. That was something, wasn't it?
Yeah. On Memorial Day, you're trying to stand up for the right, which was given to you by the Constitution, but we know we have our God-given rights, and so that's what we always got to come back to, is what Peter said, "I'd rather obey God than man." And so we should obey the governing authorities as long as they don't tell us to do something that disobeys God.
Right.
So.
Okay.
Is there anything else you wanted to?
I'm going to keep it brief by just keeping quiet.
Okay. All right. So is that it then?
I think so.